I was going to say some of that, not all of it. One thing that, before I get started, I'm pleased to be here, happy to be here. I've only brought one of those wonderful five children with me, my oldest, Camden. It's my topic is going to, it relates to anybody in the body, certainly, and will relate to us here. But some of the things that I'll talk about in this topic began here because I began here. Those of you that don't know, I was here for my first 7-8 months of my life before Murray Road started up in February of 67. So I was born in May of 66. So I was here for about 7 or 8 months as a little baby. So some of you older ones probably held me once upon a time. It's wonderful to be here, and you know, we were transplanted to Murray Road, and now I'm a member at SMART, and many of them have been transplanted from Gregory to SMART Road, and it's wonderful how these things continue on, and Murray Road will beget other congregations, and SMART Road will beget other congregations too as we continue on, I'm sure. So glad to be here. My topic this afternoon is hospitality. There's been much hospitality I know exhibited here. I know some specific stories from here. I gave this talk a couple weeks ago at SMART Road. SMART Road has more younger folks, so this may apply a little bit more to them. Like I said, I know a lot of the people here have already been going through years of exhibiting this hospitality in their lives, but it's certainly also something for us to always be reminded of from time to time to continue down those paths and to think about how important these things are in our lives and in those lives of those that we touch with our hospitality. So what comes to our mind when we talk about hospitality? I think the first thing we usually think about when defining hospitality in our minds is having people in our homes. I'm going to take a break already. I'm getting older. I have 2 pair of glasses. I got to figure out which ones work for which purpose sometimes, and these ones will work better for my notes. Okay, so inviting someone over to perhaps for dinner and spending some time talking and getting to know each other, that is certainly part of hospitality. If you do that, invite someone into your home for dinner and conversation, you are definitely exhibiting hospitality. I have been very blessed in witnessing some very wonderful examples of hospitality in my life. I grew up in a home that was always open to others. My parents taught their children to allow, to welcome, to invite people into our home. And the people that we invited into our home weren't always even just friends and family. We also invited people into our home that were down on their luck, suffering hard times, searching for something meaningful in their lives. And along with that, we didn't always even know these people ahead of time. Sometimes these people were strangers, as we'll talk about in the Word here momentarily. My father and mother were definitely a couple who took the role of hospitality seriously. Throughout my teenage years, it was their habit to have a large meal, too large for just our family, prepared every Sunday afternoon. After services, they would invite visitors that were at visiting the congregation or members that did not have family in the area over to our house for dinner. I've also been privy in my more recent past to another wonderful example that you know well here, too, of hospitality since I've been married by my grandma and grandpa Mallett. Many in the Brotherhood have been recipients of their hospitality over the years. When you are in their home, you know you are being well taken care of. And I find it kind of cool, and this goes back to you folks here, kind of cool that when my father was baptized around 50 years ago, Grandma and Grandpa Mallett showed their hospitality by having the Gregory congregation, the brothers and sisters from the body, over to their house for a celebration party after the baptism. These are wonderful examples of Christian hospitality. And I hope and pray that those lessons that I have learned from and these experiences that I've had will make me a better Christian, a better, more hospitable in my life. I like the passage we find in Romans chapter 16, verse 23. When thinking about families like my parents and Grandma and Grandpa Mallett, Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. Gaius was not only known for showing hospitality to Paul, but he was known for showing hospitality to the entire church, to the whole body. He invited many and all over to his home, I'm confident, and exhibited hospitality to them, took care of them, spent time with them. Paul was apparently staying at this time with the man Gaius as he wrote his letter to the Romans. I am also reminded of a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. Because of those lessons of my earthly father, here speaking of the Lord, he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. God loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. We are told also to love the stranger. Left unsaid would be the fact that we too should give them food and clothing. So let's decide how we are going to define hospitality today. According to Webster's dictionary, it is defined as reception and entertainment of strangers or guests, without reward, or with kind and generous liberality. I also found a list of characteristics of hospitality online that I really liked that apply to Christian hospitality, certainly. Kindness, generosity, and love or charity. In order for us to exhibit true Christian hospitality, we will need to exhibit these characteristics as we show our hospitality to others. Let's realize as we go on here the impact that hospitality has on others. Hospitality is a thing that builds, that feeds upon itself. As we show our hospitality, or even the spirit of hospitality, to others by helping an elderly person with their groceries, offering to help somebody, a friend or a neighbor in the neighborhood with a project that they're working on that they need some assistance with, buying the person behind us in line their meal, or any other act of hospitality that you do, the reaction is almost always one of appreciation, one of thanks. Thank you very much. The person that we assist in some small way will feel good because of our kindness and may even turn around and pass on that good feeling to another by doing a similar act of hospitality themselves. So let's talk about what the Bible has to say about hospitality. That's what we're here for, to see what God tells us about hospitality in His Word. And the first thing that usually pops to my mind when thinking about hospitality in the Word is the qualifications of an elder. We know from the passages in Titus chapter 1 and verse 8 where it reads, "But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled." We see in the prior verse, verse 7, several things are listed there that a man is not to be in order to be qualified to be an elder. And then we see those things in verse 8 there that he is to be in order to be qualified for the office of an elder. And one of those, the first one, of course, is but hospitable. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the parallel passage about being qualified to be an elder. "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach." We see the same thing in this passage. A bishop is to be hospitable. So we know from the main two passages in the Bible showing the qualifications for elder that hospitality is very important, at least in the realm of qualifying a man to the office of elder. So what do we read about the body as a whole? Is it necessary for others in the body to be given to hospitality? Or is it only necessary for a man to qualify for the eldership? I think you probably all know the answer to that. As we can read about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, a passage talking to us about the body of Christ and the functions of the body. That passage reads, "Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." So one of the functions of the members of the body is also to be given to hospitality. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, we read, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We are to be hospitable to each other, and to do so without murmur or complaint. Just as God had cause against his children as they wandered through the wilderness complaining about their lot, so would he have cause with us if we murmur and complain as we are going about our hospitality. When I was a younger man, I worked for several years in the food industry. Certainly one of the things we are supposed to do as an employee of a restaurant is to show hospitality to our guests when they enter our store. Since many of the employees that I worked with were high school or college age kids, you can probably guess that amongst that group there was much murmuring or complaining about the job, about the people, about the customers, all the time. And I have to admit, I don't recall, but I'm sure I was probably guilty of some of that murmuring and complaining and grumbling myself. When we had guests in our store, we were supposed to treat them with sincerity, with kindness. Treat them as if we cared for them as a person, as we hopefully should have anyway. But that often didn't happen in that environment. If we were going to grumble about having to open ourselves and our homes up to hospitality, then we are not in the right frame of mind for that hospitality. And we will not be able to have the impact intended by that hospitality. We even read specifically about the widows and the importance of their exhibiting hospitality in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, where it reads, "Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work." Timothy being instructed to not allow an older woman into the number unless she is noted for her hospitality. And we also have a passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." As we see here, the part about unwittingly entertaining angels, we know that comes from the story in Genesis where Abraham entertained angels without realizing who they were originally, and he showed them hospitality. I don't know that we are going to unwittingly entertain angels today, but we may well unwittingly entertain other Christians or even someone that we can plant a seed for God to grow over time. We again see in this passage that we are talking to members of the body. So hospitality is a requirement of the Lord for the members of his body. Hospitality is not just something that is good for us to do or only necessary for those men aspiring to be elders. It is a responsibility of all members of the body. We also see that we need to be prepared to show hospitality to all men, even to strangers. So what do these passages show us about the importance of hospitality and what is really at play when we talk about hospitality? Hospitality is clearly a command for us as Christians to exhibit, certainly to those of the body and even beyond the body. Hospitality needs to be done in the right frame of mind, without grumbling, with love. Our heart, our spirit, is important to our hospitality. A spirit of giving, a spirit of love, a spirit of sharing with others the blessings that God has bestowed on us. A spirit of humility in our knowledge that without God's gifts to us, we would have nothing. If everything we have is because of God and is God's, then everything we have should be shared with others throughout our hospitality. Hospitality is knowing that the things that we have temporary hold of are to be used as tools for God. As we read in the passage in Romans, distributing to the needs of the saints. If we have the spirit of everything that is in our current possession is God's, then it is much easier to use those blessings to attend to the needs of our brothers and sisters. Along the same lines, that also makes it easier to exhibit our hospitality without grumbling, without complaining. We need to remember to not only show hospitality to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to our neighbors, to people within our communities, and even to strangers. Because, again, we never know what impact we may have on them. In this area of hospitality, let us remember to heed the warning of Martha as we go about our hospitality. The story found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Let us be sure to take the opportunity to build the relationships and learn about God and His will for our lives during our hospitality. It can sometimes become a detriment to the relationships that we are building when we place too high a priority on temporal things when we have the opportunity to place our priority on spiritual things. So let's remember to not be a Martha, but to be a Mary, and make sure we are paying attention to the things we need to pay attention to when we're showing hospitality. Now that we've established what hospitality is and the fact that it is commanded by God for His people, let's talk about the point of hospitality. Is the point of hospitality for us to just enjoy ourselves together, to have a good time? That is not the point. That is a great benefit that comes from exhibiting hospitality. But that is not the point. The point of hospitality, Christian hospitality, is for us to do as we are told in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It is because of hospitality and the heart and spirit behind our hospitality that we are able to shine our light to the world. Hospitality is a conduit through which we are able to build relationships so that we can share the good news with those around us in our communities, in our neighborhoods. The point of hospitality is for us to do as we are told in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. In the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The point of Christian hospitality is to shine our light before others in this world, show them the Lord through our actions. The point of hospitality is to teach the world about Jesus, to make disciples of all the nations, bringing others to Christ. The point of hospitality is to obey the Great Commission. The point of hospitality is relationships. It's getting to know our brothers and sisters in Christ and also to impact the world around us for the Lord. One of the things that I notice as we, specifically talking about my wife and I, as we exhibit some hospitality time in our homes with our brothers and sisters, is how that brings us closer together. And I'm sure you've all seen this too. I know that after spending some hospitality time with our brothers and sisters, that we tend to then continue spending even more time building those relationships with those brothers and sisters that we are spending that time with, that we are having fellowship with. Our relationships are growing. Our relationships are growing. The time that we spend together exhibiting hospitality towards each other tends to continue on after that individual act of hospitality has ended. As we see each other at services the next time, we spend more time communicating with each other. We're getting to know each other better. We have built a stronger relationship with each other, directly attributable to our hospitality. The loving heart behind hospitality naturally leads to these stronger relationships, building stronger relationships, and that's certainly important within the body. The relationship building is one of the key reasons that hospitality is a qualification for a man to become an elder. As we know, the responsibilities of elders over the flock, they must know their flock well, very well. They must have an understanding of their flock, the strengths and weaknesses of the flock, and how they can go about teaching the flock to better equip them for the work of the Lord. In order to have the knowledge necessary to guide, to lead the flock, they must spend much time in hospitality, getting to know their flock as well as is possible. For this reason, we have hospitality as one of the qualifications for an elder. It's not that all members of the body are not responsible for showing hospitality to one another. It's just that it's especially important for a man up for the office of an elder to exhibit Christian hospitality to his brothers and sisters. Another passage that shows what our hospitality should lead to is the passage found in Matthew chapter 25, where the sheep are separated from the goats. This passage shows hospitality and what hospitality and the relationships that hospitality will lead to can provide. We will have the types of opportunities to be as the sheep in this passage are. Verses 33 through 36 of Matthew 25. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. It is because of our hospitality and the relationships that we have established through our hospitality that we become aware of these types of opportunities to assist others. My wife and I, along those lines, have had a personal opportunity during the last few weeks to be available for people that we know and love because of hospitality that we have shown to others and have had in turn shown to us. Because of the relationships that we have built with people that we have spent time showing hospitality to, we have been afforded the opportunity to be assistants to them as they struggle with some things recently in their lives. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to share our love for each other and our love for God. And just as God knows these opportunities make us feel good, and they make those that we show hospitality to feel good also, certainly. Before I close, a couple of observations, going back to how I started, talking about my mother and father and the hospitality they've exhibited. The impact, I know for a fact, and there may even be people in this audience that have been impacted by my parents through their hospitality, but the impact that I've witnessed my parents have through their hospitality, through opening up their home and providing opportunities for others, whether they were people that they already knew well or strangers. There were strangers in our house at different times that were on hard times, and some of these people came to the Lord during this period of time. Those things don't always take and hold, but there's certainly seeds planted, and there's certainly opportunities there. My father always had Bible studies going on in our home, and there were many people that were impacted through their work and the Bible studies. These types of things are the things we're talking about in hospitality, the impacts that we can make when we open ourselves up, we open our lives up, we open our hearts up to other people. We can have an impact on them, and if we're doing this as a Christian, we can have an impact on them for God. I know personally some of the most meaningful conversations that I've had in my life have been time spent around a kitchen table. And I don't think I'm alone there. I think when we're sitting around a kitchen table and we've had people in our home and we're up late at night, a lot of these have been during 2-week meetings or weekend meetings where people have been staying in our home. You're staying up late at night just talking, and you talk about things that are important when you're doing things like that with brothers and sisters in Christ. And it helps you grow, and hopefully you give them an opportunity. We've been accorded the opportunity to hear from people that we've helped them grow in these types of areas too, and we help each other when we do these things, when we open ourselves. And again, I want to emphasize that we're not just talking about opening our homes, we're opening up ourselves. True hospitality is opening up ourselves, opening up our hearts, opening up our lives so we can impact others. And these things are very beneficial to not only those that we're helping, but they're beneficial to us, and they help us to grow, and they give us opportunities to grow even more and more. So I want everybody here to think about, to look for those opportunities when they can show their hospitality. Look for those opportunities when you can grow. It can allow you to grow, or you can help other people grow, build those relationships, help each other be stronger in Christ as we continue on in this life. In conclusion, we also know how this passage in Matthew chapter 25 that we read from earlier continues in verse 37, continuing on. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you, then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let us remember that we are honoring Jesus as we do these deeds for others. As he tells us, we are doing it for him. If we do it for others, or if we don't do it for others, we're not doing it for him. If you're ready to begin living a life for Christ, a life full of hospitality, and the relationships that you will build and influence because of that life you live for Christ, we invite you to come forward. Or if you have anything else you need to bring before the body at this time, we ask you to come forward as we stand up and sing the song of invitation.